Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. You'll find Samuel's 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. And you'll come to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1 says this. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Our scripture today is a blessed revelation of God's acceptance of the work and the obedience and the efforts of a man named Solomon. This was David's son, Solomon, in the building, the dedication of a temple. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm actually preaching on, so that you'll understand, you won't have to wonder, where is he going with this? There's a man named Solomon, and he's a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll hear me say that again. He's a picture of Christ. And God ordained, commissioned this man Solomon to build a temple. And that temple that was built back in the Old Testament, beautiful, gorgeous temple, that temple is a picture, it's a type of the bringing together, the assembling of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church. That's what that temple is all about. It's a picture of Solomon, who's a picture of Christ, building, establishing, erecting a temple that pictures his bride, the beauty of it by his imputed righteousness, all that went into all of the stuff that went into that temple. It's a picture of the Lord building his bride. That's what this is all about. So as we look at these scriptures this morning, keep that in mind. This is what it's talking about. And it'll make a whole lot of sense to you. It's not just history. If this is just history, as I've told you before, well, what's that got to do with me now, right now? But if I can enter in to being a part of this temple that's being built, and God calling out his bride and assembling her together, those lively stones we just talked about. Now, I can enter into that. So let's look at this just a few minutes. That what I just read right there. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. That scripture right there is the glorious revelation of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over sin, over Satan, over the death and hell toward his people. It's the setting forth of the Father's justice and wrath against the rebellion of his people, of which Christ bore that sin that he made him. And finally, it's the revelation of the blessed state of God's people to be found in Christ without condemnation before God's law. Now, let's just look at it for a few minutes. And I'll tell you, for the sake of time, I won't read all of the scriptures. I'll read many of them, but I'll tell you, if you want to make a note, just go back and read this. I'll tell you where these are found. So, before the temple of Solomon was built, I'm talking about the historical, before that temple was historically built. God was pleased to bless his people with his presence in a movable tent, a tabernacle. It was portable. They could take it and pick it up and move it, and the Lord directed Moses, I want you to build this exactly, all the furniture that went inside that tabernacle in that holy place and the Holy of Holies, all of that was according to God's direction. And that's where the Ark of God, what was that? It was a box. It was a box. And it was made out of precious wood, shittim wood. And it was covered inside, outside with gold, and on top of it, with the lid, was called the mercy seat. That's what covered over it. And it had two golden cherubims, these angelic creatures, and their wings touched each other. That was the mercy seat set on top. And that tabernacle housed that ark, the Holy of Holies. That holy place was that outer court. Well, they had an outer court where the priests could all, everybody could, you know. But then there was the Holy of Holies, where one time a year, one day a year, the high priest could go into that behind the veil, not without blood, on the Day of Atonement. And he would sprinkle that mercy seat with the blood of the sacrifice. And God said, that's where I'm going to meet with you. Now that ark was a picture of Christ. It was the evidence of God's presence. That's where that ark, God said, I'm going to meet with you right there. That's where I'm going to meet with you. So they had this place. Well, in the process of time, God moved upon David to think, consider a permanent building, a temple that was going to be built for God. And David's heart was moved to build this house, this temple, and establish it. That was found in 2 Samuel 7, 1-3. In his heart, he had a heart. He wanted to build a temple, and he made plans to build it. But God forbid him. God would not allow David, King David, to build the temple. In 1 Chronicles 22, 6-8, it says, this was the reason that God was not going to allow King David to build the temple. Here was the reason. Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because I have shed blood, much blood, upon the earth in my sight. Now, David, a man after God's own heart, he had it in his heart, he wanted to build a permanent building, a temple, for God's honor, God's glory, where the ark would be, and it'd be permanently set right there. But God told him, he said, no, you're not going to do it. And the reason you're not going to do it is because you've shed much blood. Now, listen. David shed much blood at God's direction. The Lord was the one that directed David to shed much blood. He engaged in the battles, you know. But here's what was set forth in that. David, as a picture of Christ, even there, was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ's great victory over all the enemies of God's people. Death, sin, hell, the grave. David did what he did under God's direction. But God said, you're not going to build it because you shed much blood. But the shedding of that blood was a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ's victory. But even God, wisely, he wouldn't let David do it, even though the Lord sent him to do it and accomplish God's purpose. He said, no, you're not going to do it. He said, I tell you, he's going to do it. He said, your son, Solomon, is going to do it. I'm going to give you a son. You're going to call him Solomon. And he's the one that I'm going to allow to build this temple. Now, the name Solomon means
peace.
That's what Solomon means. Let me just read this to you. It's in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. Now here's David's son, who is also now a picture of Christ. His name is Peace. He said, you're the one going to build it. You're the one that's going to be able to construct it. And listen to this prophecy by the prophet Zechariah concerning the building of this temple. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, 13. You speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory, and all sit and rule upon his throne. No, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now, he said, no, you're not going to build it because you shed much blood. The glorious victor. No, he said, I tell you who's going to build this temple. This temple's going to be established in peace between me and my people. Peace. Solomon is going to build this temple. So David was not permitted to actually build the temple. But the thing about it was that Almighty God was pleased to allow David, who couldn't build the temple, he was the one that was going to have to supply all of the material that was going to be in that temple. David, who couldn't build it, he would supply everything in that temple. I'll just read this, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verses 1 to 5. Furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, and yet young and tender, the work is great, the palace is not for man, it's for the Lord God. Now I've prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold, for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, brass for the things of brass, iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones for the stones to be set, glistening stones, divers colors, all manner of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good and gold and silver, which I've given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy place, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal, the gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver, all manner of work to be made of the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? God told David, so you can't build it, but you're going to provide everything for it. Your son, Peace, is going to construct it. He's going to actually put it together. He's going to put it together to my honor, but you're going to supply everything. Everything that is supplied inside that temple, you, as the conqueror over death, hell, and the grave, you're going to have to make it all worthy. It's going to cost you. You that are the victor, You're the one upon whom all of this is justly going to be used. You victoriously got by a picture of the Lord's strength. Everything that's going to go in that temple, everything that goes in that temple, all of it's going to be had justly, victoriously. But your son's going to put it together. That's what's going to happen. David said, I'm going to give all the stuff, all the gold, all the silver. One of the things that amazed me, he said in 1 Chronicles 29, 4, 3,000 talents of gold. I thought, how much is 3,000 talents of gold? Well, I looked it up. 112.5 tons of gold. 112.5 tons. I mean, gold is like $1,800 an ounce now. I don't know what it was then. But 112.5 tons of gold is a lot of gold. You know what that set forth? the preciousness of the righteousness in which God robes his people. That temple that's being built, it's built based on the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his obedience before God. And in the building of that temple, oh, how precious his people are robed in him. We have no earthly idea. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those that love him. Oh, David said, I'll supply all. And not only was the Lord pleased to make provision for the temple through King David, the Lord was pleased also to have the temple built in the spot where Christ's glory as the substitute of his people was wonderfully revealed. This place right here was called Moriah. It's going to be built on Mount Moriah. Now let me tell you what happened on Mount Moriah. It's found in Genesis 22 verses 1 and 2. But let me tell you what it was. God told Abraham, he said, you take your son, your only son. And you take your son, Isaac, and you take him to the place that I'll show you. And I want you to sacrifice your son unto me as a burnt offering. Now you remember what a burnt offering is. That burnt offering is the offering that is, it's the sweet savor offering that set forth the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ in his submission to lay down his life. You remember what happened? Abraham and Isaac was going up that hill, and Isaac says, here's the fire, and here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice? This is Isaac that said that. The one that Abraham, his dad, was going to sacrifice. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. So Abraham goes up there and he lays out that altar. And he put that boy on that altar. Bound him, and there's, he raised that knife up. God stopped him. There was a ram caught in the thicket. He said, you put that. There's a picture of the glorious submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. When his daddy put him up on that altar, no record. He kicked, fretted, fought. Mm-mm. Dad raised that knife up. God stopped him. Took that ram, put him on there. There's substitution. God told David, he said, I want you to put that temple where I'm going to build this temple, where I'm going to build my glorious temple of my people and have a place of my residence with my people. I'm going to make them what they are. You're going to supply it. Peace is going to erect it. Peace before God. Peace established between God and men. That's where we're going to put it, right here on this place that honors my son. I tell you something else that happened at Moriah. There was a day that David wanted to number the people. And he was advised by his advisor, said, oh, Lord bless you beyond measure, but don't do this. Don't start counting. Don't start looking at the bottom line and trying to figure out how many men you got, how much money do you have. Please don't do that, David. Please. David numbered the people. And Almighty God, because David looked to the flesh, God asked him, said, well, what do you want? You want to be under the submission of your people? What do you want? David said, Lord, you decide. 3 days pestilence God was going to send because of David's disobedience. Almighty God, when he sent chastisement because of David's disobedience, as Scripture says that the Lord, in the days of those pestilence, killed 70,000 men because of one man's disobedience. 70,000 men. And the Lord sent a prophet to instruct David of God's pleasure to show mercy and forgiveness, but only through a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was going to picture the Lord Jesus. And so he sent him to a place of a threshing floor. A man named Araunah. Araunah was this man's name, 2 Samuel 14. And he said, you go and you buy the threshing floor of Araunah. You buy that floor and you take that all that threshing floor, you take the oxen, you build an altar, you kill the oxen, you make a sacrifice unto me right there. That was at Moriah. Moriah. David comes to Araunah and he said, I'd like to buy your threshing floor. And Araunah said, well, you're the king. I'll give it to you. Whatever you need, I'll give it to you. David said, no. No. I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord God, Lord my God, of that which costs me nothing. No, sir. I want to pay you exactly whatever this piece of property is worth. I want to know the going market. I want a market price. What's it going to cost? They told him. David shelled out the money. Bought it. Built an altar out of all that wood and stuff. Took the oxen late. Sacrificed unto the Lord. Where is Solomon going to build this temple? He's going to build it exactly on the spot where the Lord Jesus Christ, the substitute of his people, the sacrifice of his people, was greatly set forth. Oh, the significance of that place. David, you're not going to build it. You're a bloody man. Your son Solomon's going to build it. And not only is he going to build it, he was going to build it in exactly the time that it was going to be built. He set forth the date that that building was going to be established. But what did that set forth? Galatians 4, 4 and 5. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So the Lord was pleased to bless a man, to be a victor, to establish all of the things that were going to be needed. And God chose his son. Peace was going to erect it. And then whenever it was done, the scripture says, 1 Chronicles 29, 28, concerning David, he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now, the son is left. The one who is peace himself. And the scripture says that concerning that construction, now David's got all of this stuff piled up. All the gold, all the silver, all the wood, all the everything is there. There's all the material. It's all been bought and paid for. Paid for by his victory. Paid for by his victorious overridings against all God's enemies. It's all there. But how is it going to be built? What is it going to take to build it? Now, what is that going to take? That's going to take some wisdom. To be able to take what has been provided and according to God's will and God's purpose, to be able to put it together. So here's what's needed. You need some wisdom. And what happens? 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Here's young man. Young man Solomon. Young fella. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked him, what shall I give thee? Now here, what Solomon is about to ask is under the inspiration of God's Spirit. Man by nature, he's selfish, isn't he, Fred? He's not. What is a man going to ask for? Well, give me money and give me fame. That's man by nature. But what does God move upon this boy to ask? Solomon said, thou hast showed unto my servant David, my father, great mercy, according he walked before thee in truth, in righteousness, uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept him. This great kindness, thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I'm but a child. I know not how to go out and come in. Here's a young fella. That has given the responsibility you put this temple together. And you do it according to God's instruction, God's will, God's direction. That's what you're going to do. And Solomon knew it. David told him. He said, you're the one. And he said, I'm a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people. Thou hast chosen a great people that can't be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. But who's able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemy. You've asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I've done according to thy words. Lo, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there's none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Oh, what a picture of Christ. What do you want? Wisdom. That's what I want. Lord, would you give me an understanding heart? Oh, that Solomon who was peace, pictured peace that had been wrought before God by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wisdom himself. Just like Proverbs 8, wisdom that came up with him, ever before him. What a picture of Christ himself. What would be required to bring this temple together? What's it going to be required to bring God's people out and establish them, put them here, put them there, the body where he played? What's it going to take? It's going to take power and victory and wisdom. Only God can do that. Here's Solomon. What does he ask for? He asked for wisdom. And wisdom to know how God could be just and justify a sinner. Wisdom. Oh, in humbling himself and making himself of no reputation before God. Wisdom. For God that cannot die, how can God, who cannot die, how can God atone for sin and shed his own blood and die? How can God do that? Go become a man. Oh, the wisdom of God Almighty in the building of his temple and bringing it together, establishing this. And here's an amazing thing about that temple when it was being built. When that temple was being built, do you know the scripture says, listen to this, 1 Kings 6 and 7, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready, that is, complete made ready, before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. You know what that meant? Everything had to be prepared. There was going to be no sounds of construction. What size do you need on that? I need something 37 and 7 16ths. All right, well, hang on just a second. Let me go cut one. I'll fix it. Oh, no. Every stone, everything had to be built off-site. There was no sound of hammer, no sound of an axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house. You know what that means? It was all done before. It was all prepared before and brought and assembled. When Almighty God, I love this passage of Scripture. I'll read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. 2 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, nor according to his own, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest in the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When Almighty God assembles his people and brings them, calls them out of darkness, let me tell you, when all of that was established before the foundation of the world, who has saved us and then called us. When was the saving done? It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. They ain't no figuring out in time what God's going to do in the assembling of his church. All of this established before the foundation of the world. No, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Old Marvin may be built, may be born in central Louisiana. But I tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to put him in Louisiana first. I'm going to leave him there, and then I'm going to call him out of darkness. Then I'm going to send him to Tennessee, and he's going to stay in Tennessee for 20 years. And then in 20 years, I'm going to move, and I'm going to have a group of men come over here and ask him to consider coming over here as pastor. And he's going to tell them no, that he just feels he needs to be in Tennessee. But about a year or so later, I'm going to move him here. That's what he's going to do. And there's not going to be any sounds of acts, and we're not going to work all these details out in time. All of this was established before the foundation of the world. That's how this temple is going to be built. It's going to be put together. This whole body, fitly, the scripture says, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. They put all that stuff together, and these pieces went together, and they went together just like that. And it fit perfectly. Just established exactly. The scripture declares in Romans chapter 8 concerning that which Almighty God has done. Romans 8, 28 to 30. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. In predestinating grace, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that is, before the foundation of the world, he established the destination before. Who he did predestinate, them he also called, he named them. And whom he called, them he justified, all past tense, whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So here's Solomon's temple. A picture of the glorious work of God Almighty in his electing, redeeming, regenerating grace, sovereign grace. Said, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to have a people. I called them, chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. I justified them. I glorified them. All in Christ. All these works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, they're all going to be brought together. And they're all going to fit just perfectly. I got a group I'm going to put over at Katy, and I got a group over here at Todd's Road, and I got a group over here in Danville, and I got them here and there. And I'm going to put them just exactly where I say they're going to be. And that's where they're going to be. I'm going to fix them right there. So in conclusion, I'm going to tell you I've got to sum up chapters here. But in chapters 3 and 4, I'm summing up what I've been telling you. Chapters 3 and 4 of 2 Chronicles. The scripture is declaring the actual account. Go back and read this. It'll tell you all the calipers were put here in the temple. And it had the wings, and they touched, and just line after line. How all of it was being put, and the staircases were put here, and these were so many cubits and so many. All of that, it gave all the dimensions. Get all how that temple was put together. Everything within it was a blessed picture of God's provision for his people and establishing them. That was the construction of it. That's what's going on right now. We're seeing it right now. In chapter 5 of 2 Chronicles, it was is when the altar was brought in. It had all been built. And there it was. And the altar was coming, and it was put in place. And that altar was a picture. It's a type of right now. Here we are. where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of you. Lord said that that ark set forth the glorious presence of God. He said, I'm there. I'm there. And so when the Lord was pleased, he had it constructed and he had the ark brought in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, the Holy Spirit recorded a prayer of Solomon in the dedication of that temple. Here he was, and he began, go back and read it. He said, Lord, if your people, those that are called by your name, Lord, if they transgress, Lord, if they look toward this temple, Lord, would you forgive them? Lord, would you have mercy? Lord, if they stumble, if they fall, I'm praying. There's a picture of Christ, the great high priest, who ever liveth to make intercession. And here Solomon, a picture of Christ, he prayed for the Lord's continual mercy and forgiveness, asking God to bless them in all the circumstances of this life. Pardon their transgressions and keep them, Lord. And he prayed that glorious dedication. That came right on up. That was back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We were just looking. If you look back at 6 and you start reading, look just read that prayer. There's a picture of our great intercessor, the great high priest who has ever stood. He didn't become a great high priest. He ever lived to make intercession. And the scripture says after that great temple was established, built, put together. Now here we are. I'm going to read this verse of scripture in closing. This right here sets forth the glory of what happened at Calvary. Here's Solomon now, a picture of Christ, the great high priest who built it, who God used to build that temple, a picture of Christ building his church. All of it went in there. All that stuff was gotten by victory, power, God's might, put together in peace, established before God. Ark was put in there. God's presence. Pray, God bless it. Lord, bless this, keep you people. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ now in type at Calvary. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, when he at Calvary set forth these glorious words, it is finished. When Solomon had made an end of praying, interceding, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. It is finished. And what happened? Almighty God poured out justly his wrath upon Christ, who was made sin for us in the establishing of his temple. What's it going to take for peace to be established and wrought before God and men? Justice. Justice. The soul that sinned is going to die. He made an end. Fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, him, the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord. What glory? Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. The Lord said, okay. I'm going to have mercy on whom I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. The fire came down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice and the glory of the Lord to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever he will, on whomsoever he will, fill the house. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May God be pleased to bless this message of peace wrought with God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory and our good. Amen. No kidding.